may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've been having chest pains for weeks, and you know that something is not right. Who are you going to call? Family members, friends, your pastor? Well, you want to find out what's going on, and you don't want to worry anyone, so you call the doctor. That makes sense. You go into the appointment, and you get it confirmed. You're going to need surgery on your heart. You leave that doctor's office with the bad news, and who are you going to call? Family member, friend, pastor? It's the day before the surgery, and you don't want to go there alone. Who are you going to call? After the surgery is over, you know there's a long road ahead. New diet, new exercise, your life's going to change, and you realize how valuable every single moment is. Who are you going to call? And yet, all along, when we're thinking about the people we turn to, the medical care we turn to, the resources we turn to in times of trouble, who are we forgetting about? Who is it that's the source of all life and all health? Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And so James turns us back to that source of all help. As we learn in the second commandment, call upon him in every trouble, pray praise and give thanks. James turns us to the Lord. In chapter 5, as we go to the last reading we'll have, and it closes the epistle. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This word of the Lord was spoken for you. We pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When you get sick, who do you turn to? Where do you look for help, for comfort, for care? When I was a child, it was my mother. And I could still remember being sick and laying on the couch with a pillow and a blanket, and she would bring out the TV tray, set it up with a can of 7-Up, put in the little bendy straw so I didn't have to sit up, and she'd give me some soda crackers. And probably somewhere nearby there was a pail. And besides the pail, the rest of it kind of gives me a fond memory, because I knew there was someone to turn to that would comfort me, take care of me. But as we grow older, we kind of grow out of this idea. We begin to think as grown-ups that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to toughen up, and there's really no one we can count on to, down to the last minute, to care for us like we can care for ourselves. There are some sicknesses that strike us as we get older. And yet, there are some that we just can't handle on our own. Some that we can't get through without some kind of medical treatment, some kind of help from somebody else. And this is the kind of sickness that James is talking about. He's talking about someone who can hardly even get out of bed. They can't come to church like they normally would to pray about these things. And so he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is the sort of sickness where you can hardly get out of bed. It confines you at home or the hospital. It's the sort of sickness where you can't come to church to pray. And so what happens? Well, James says, bring the church to you. Call for the elders of the church, the leaders in the church, to come as called servants of the congregation and pray over you, that you may be healed. What we learn is that when you're sick, it's about more than just doctors. It's more than just physical things that we are concerned with here, that there's more going on that we should be aware of. That's why the crowds were gathered to Jesus, after all. Jesus was the source of all life and all healing. He was God in the flesh, the creator of heaven and earth. And so many would come to him to be healed. Well, what about us? How are we going to be gathered to Jesus? Where are we going to find him? How are we going to come to him? He's not here in the flesh. So James says, call for the elders of the church that they may pray over you and you may be healed. Meaning, where the church is gathered among two or three witnesses, that's where we find Jesus, his presence, his healing power, and all of his gifts and blessings. But we wonder, can we really expect him to heal us when we're sick? Can we really expect Jesus to guarantee healing when we're sick? There are some pastors who would say yes. They would say that God wants to bless you with earthly blessings. He wants to make your life great. And if you're not getting those blessings, it's because you're not trusting the Lord enough, you're not praying enough, you're not calling upon him enough. And these are the pastors who are part of the Word of Faith movement, if you've ever heard of that. They preach a prosperity gospel, which looks for the gospel to bring you earthly blessings, demands it of God. Is that really what faith is all about? Making demands for what God should or shouldn't do for us? The text is an invitation into the grace of God, not a contract to hold against God's will. So when we're praying to the Lord, faith makes no demands. It's nothing more than the open hands of a beggar. It's a false teaching to think that our works or our prayers or the efforts that we do are going to bring about earthly blessings in our life, health, wealth, prosperity. Instead, it comes as a gift of God's grace. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Take your sickness to the Lord in faith, in confidence. As we think about this, though, we start to wonder, what is James talking about exactly? Because he begins to transition into talking about confessing your sins, almost as if there's more to it than just physical illnesses here, more to your health than just what doctors can treat. He says, confess your sins to one another, that you, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. There seems to be an overlap here between the physical ailments going on and the spiritual. Mark, could you hit the close switch on the thermostat if you open that up? Okay, it takes a minute to shut off. Thank you. There's an overlap here between the physical things going on and the spiritual. When he talks about if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. And I think we could think along the lines of certain sicknesses in this world that really are associated with psychological and spiritual issues. Think of depression, for instance. When a person is thoroughly depressed, clinically depressed, it can get to the point where you just can't even get out of bed, where you literally don't do any of the things you used to do. This is the sort of sickness that has more to it than just physical ailments. There are psychological and spiritual issues going on. And sometimes there's guilt going on. So you can think of how the spiritual issues we're dealing with also affect us physically. James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That we should, if anyone has sinned, take it to the Lord in righteousness. But we wonder, what is righteousness and who is righteous? You might have a picture of righteousness in your mind as being someone standing up before the whole congregation, piously testifying to the many great things they've done as Christians. Or do you picture somebody slumped over in the corner with their head hung low, praying for forgiveness? Well, Jesus used this exact comparison when he was talking to his disciples, and he told a parable which compared a Pharisee to a tax collector. The Pharisee came into the temple and stood before all the people and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, these extortioners and adulterers and unrighteous, and I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector over here. Because over in the corner of the room was a man slumped over with his head hung low, where no one could really see him, and his hands folded, and he was praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, which one is righteous? Which one of the two is really righteous? Is it the prominent Pharisee, a figure of religious piety in his community? Or the outcast tax collector who's praying for forgiveness? Well, Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, I tell you, this tax collector went to his house righteous rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Righteousness is a gift from God, not something we possess by nature. And righteousness comes to us by faith, by repentance, by the open hands of the beggar, who does nothing more than pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the one who goes home justified, righteous in God's eyes. Ordinary sinners like you and me, the ones who trust in Jesus, are the ones who are righteous in God's eyes, and their prayers are effective. You don't need to be a church leader to have effective prayers. You just need to be a believer. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, meaning he was a sinner just like us, and he was righteous just like us. And look what his prayers did. With one prayer, he closed up the heavens so that it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then later, with another prayer, the heavens were opened, and God rained down his grace and forgiveness. Take your sins to the Lord here in this gathering as we confess our sins together in righteousness. There's a great danger to not taking it to the Lord in prayer. And that great danger is that it might stop raining. We've had our share of rain over the last few days. It's been gushing out of the heavens, filling up our ditches, overflowing our riverbeds, almost to the point where we take it for granted. We have green grasses, fruits coming in, flowers, vegetables at the markets. And we almost forget that rain is a gift of God's grace. We haven't done anything to deserve it. We haven't done anything to earn it. And we haven't done anything to create or control it. And yet, God gives it to us. Can you imagine what it would be like to be cut off from his rain for 3 years? Why did it happen? The reason why Elijah was praying that the heavens would stop raining is because the people of Israel had wandered from the truth. And they were so far from the truth that they didn't even realize they had cut themselves off from God's grace. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were the ones in power at the time in 1 Kings. And they had erected an altar to Baal, a false god, and were telling the people to worship this other god. They had led the people so far away from God's truth that they didn't even realize they were cut off from God's grace until all of a sudden it stopped raining. Sometimes God needs to take drastic measures in our life to bring us back to the truth. Sometimes God needs to bring afflictions into our life, or droughts, or troubles, to help us realize when we've wandered from the truth. Because it's more important than your job, than the economy, than the harvest, than your time, than your money, than your family. And so he says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that the one who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." It's more important than anything that God draws us to his forgiveness. So maybe somebody in your life is having heart trouble. In fact, we're going to be praying for three different people in our prayers today that are having health difficulties, including Don James's father, who's in the hospital because he's having congestive heart failure. That's why Don's not here today. Who are those people in your life who are going through a tough time, who maybe haven't heard from the Lord or called upon him for some time? Know that someone who turns a sinner from the errors of their way will save a soul from death. Which means pray for them in love and pray with them in love. Bring them to the Lord. Bring them to his mercy, his forgiveness, his loving kindness, which covers a multitude of sins. The waters of baptism, which open the heavens once again so that it would rain down God's grace. And the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin and covers all things we've ever done wrong in our life or in our heart or in our flesh, and brings us to Jesus, the source of all life and all health. You never know when you're going to have some heart trouble. Heart attacks come upon us kind of suddenly, as if a ticking time bomb we don't even know about. But what you should realize now is that your heart is still beating. Take that heart to the Lord today, tomorrow, every day in prayer. When you're sick, call for the church. When you can't get out of bed, call for the pastor. When you've sinned, come to church and confess your sins. When someone's wandered from the truth, bring them here, where there's forgiveness, life, and salvation. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We rise.